You are listening to a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke.
This is the 14th episode of the Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
Hi, I'm Professor Anita Arsovska, Associate Commissioning Editor of the World Stroke Academy, and I'm here today with Avril Drummond. Hi, Avril. It's great to have you here with us, and congratulations on the nomination by the WSO board members.
Thank you so much, Anita. It's lovely to be here, and I'm so thrilled to have this nomination, so thank you very much.
So, Avril Drummond is Professor of Healthcare Research at the University of Nottingham. She is an occupational therapist with a long-standing clinical and academic interest in stroke rehabilitation and has published widely on clinical services and specific rehabilitation interventions, with over 200 publications to date. Avril is a past chair of the UK Stroke Forum, a member of the Royal College of Physicians Intercollegiate Working Party for Stroke, which developed the UK National Clinical Guidelines, and she currently chairs the European Life After Stroke Scientific Committee. She sits on multiple UK research funding bodies and is a trustee of the UK Stroke Association. So let's start with the first question. Avril, what's your career advice for young women who are about to take their first steps in stroke research?
So I suppose my advice is be enthusiastic, be brave, and jump right in. I think that people should embrace any opportunities that come along. I think in the early stages, sometimes people overthink whether they should be doing something or not. But I think just jump right in there and embrace anything that comes along. I also think that people have to also make opportunities. So you can't always just wait until a bus comes along. You may have to flag down a passing car. So I think that, you know, people in your team may need help recruiting patients or with drafting a paper or in analyzing some results. So I think you should volunteer. And in the same way that you become part of a team, you also find that you upskill yourself as well. So the main thing is be enthusiastic and roll your sleeves up.
That's a great advice. Did you have a mentor?
Yes. So I've always, and I still have more than one. And in fact, I had mentors before that was the term that you used. And I think it's really important that people do have, whatever they want to call these people, you have someone that you can use for being a sounding board for your ideas, someone who can give you some outside perceptions on what you're doing, and occasionally someone who can give you some advice whether you choose to follow it or not. And I think we need different mentors at different parts of our careers. And I think sometimes one of the things that people do is that they try and hold on to the same mentor. But I think as your career progresses, you may have to rethink about that. And I would say as well, I've always been very lucky because I've had excellent male and female mentors all the way through my career.
What have been major challenges in your career?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Yes, life is full of challenges, but I think probably I would say there were two main challenges. The first is directly around my career, and that is actually getting research money. It is really one of the awful tasks that you have to do is to get money in to pay for the research that you do. And of course, when you don't succeed, you have the fact that you haven't got the money to do the research, but also you have to manage the disappointment, you know, yourself and within your team. I think in my personal life, I would be honest and say that at times it's been a real challenge to juggle my family and my career. And so I will tell you this, at one point in my life, I had three children under 2 years of age. Now you're probably wondering how that works, but it's actually because I had twins. And I think for about 2 years, I really just was completely sleep deprived. And I just was very fortunate to have a team who really covered my back and helped me get through. But I think the point is that your career can't always be on an upward trajectory. Sometimes you just have to take a lull and you just have to manage the rest of your life and your career.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I know that you have had many, many great achievements of your career, but what would you say has been the greatest one?
So I've not had any great achievements that really have just been down to me. It really has been always part of the team and working with colleagues. I think the most recent achievement that we have had has really been getting life after stroke as a domain in the action plan for Europe. And as I say, that's really not down to me. That has been a real team effort, but it's been really important to get that on the map and to get people to recognise that this is really an important part of the stroke recovery pathway. And linked to that, we have been running the Life After Stroke conference committee planning. And we actually had our first webinar in March and had over 800 people just for that one session, which really shows that this is an important issue. So I think that's probably my greatest achievement so far.
Yes, definitely I agree, because this part of the stroke pathway has been neglected in many, many countries.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it really has.
What does it mean if someone is outstanding?
So to me, I think it's because they're outstanding in a number of ways. So when I think of people that I really admire or people whose professional career really impresses me, it's because of the quality of the research that they produce, that it really is top drawer quality research, which is published in high impact journals, and which really has an impact on both stroke survivors and their families, and of course on staff and how they manage their daily life. I think the outstanding researchers asked really important questions, the really difficult questions, not the easy ones. And I think it's about their ability to communicate well and often present really quite complex issues in a very simple way, so that you almost think, why didn't I do that? So I think that the short answer is that it's really about someone who's hitting a number of targets. And of course, we're very fortunate because we have a number of people in stroke rehab who do that effortlessly.
What is the best piece of advice you have ever received?
So I'm actually Irish. I come from Ireland, and believe me, people are always giving you advice. From probably the time I was born, people are always really good at telling you nuggets. So I've had lots of really good advice the whole way through my life. I think my personal piece of advice is really about treating people the way that I'd like to be treated. That probably is my gold star at the back of my head. But if I think professionally, the piece of advice that always sticks in my mind, and of course it wasn't given to me personally, but it was from Michelangelo, and he said that you should always aim high, because it was better to miss aiming high than to set low goals and succeed. And that's often something that I present to my students, and when I'm talking in lectures, and say, it's much better to fail if you're aiming very high than achieving a very low target.
You are obviously a great teacher and role models for others and a true inspiration. But what inspires you?
So my colleagues inspire me, my teams inspire me. You know, reading a really good research article, going to a conference or a meeting and hearing other people speak, all of those things really inspire me. But I think the thing that really inspires me most are the stroke survivors and their families that I've met. And, you know, never a week goes past that I meet someone who says something that really makes an impact on me. I'm going to name somebody. So at the Life After Stroke conference, we had a video in the middle of the session by a young lady called Alexia, and she has aphasia. And she did this little video and showed really what the challenges she has in daily life. And it was really, really both heart-wrenching, but really motivating. And I suppose I often think when life is rough, I actually haven't got a rough life at all. When you think of the challenges that stroke survivors have in daily life, that is much more of a challenge than we have, you know, in doing research.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And Alexia is a true hero.
She was a real star. I think absolutely. I should sign her up and be her agent.
Absolutely agree. You mentioned chairing the very successful webinar on life after stroke, which was very well attended as well, not just from European members, but also worldwide. And so would you tell us about your ongoing research projects or planned future projects?
So I'm really quite fortunate that we've got a number of projects at the moment, and they're all at different points of the pipeline. So just this morning, I had a meeting about some research that we're planning to put a bid in for. And we've got projects that are just starting at the moment, and we've got some that we're writing up. So we're very fortunate that we've got a number. But I think the one that really sticks out to me at the moment is the work that we're doing around fatigue after stroke. And we actually had a workshop yesterday where we had clinicians and stroke survivors giving their different perceptions about this. And the challenge will be to try and synthesize this and make some sense of it, but to really try and push forward the whole recognition of fatigue as a major issue for people, which affects their rehabilitation, and to try and look at ways that perhaps we can influence that and make life better for people.
That was great, Avril. It was my pleasure and honor to talk to you today. So thank you very much for participating in this interview.
So thank you very much. And I think your questions were very challenging. So thank you very much indeed, and lovely to talk to you.